Welcome again. I'm so glad you're here as you continue on your journey towards self-development. We talked about this in our last episode, that this is a journey for everybody, and all you have to do is to just listen, not asking you to do anything more. And you will see the benefits of just listening and understanding where we're going. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning. How are we doing? I love the change of term here, or the new term of self-development, because it's... It gives you a sense of accomplishment for being on the self-development trail. Even though we may not be self-realized in this lifetime, we can still work towards it and we can achieve self-development.
Yes, yes. So we also talked last time about the fact that a lot of people just drop talking about certain chapters in the Gita because they think that it might be too superficial or repetitious. Chapter 10 and chapter 11 are... some of those chapters. There are many verses that are similar. So these verses that I'm going to be talking are also, you may say, what is this?
Yeah.
Every verse, every word has meaning if you want to go at a much deeper level. And these are some of those verses that you may find that if you go at a much higher level, there are significant meanings to this. But for now, I'm going to skip through them quickly because they're basically Brahman, Krishna, talking about Brahman, saying what are his qualities. And at a very superficial level, if you just look at them, you say, all right, so he's just talking about all his qualities. There are deeper meanings, which at some later point we can try and decipher. But for now, let's just look at it as a beginner looks at it. So verse 16 in chapter 9 says, I am Kratu, I am Yajna, I am Swadha, I am Aushadha, I am Mantra, I am Ajyam, I am Agni, I am Hutam. So these are all things that Krishna says he, as Brahma, Brahman, is. And these are all parts of a Yajna. You remember we talked last time about Yajna being a collective effort by people from within a community. And that community can be an office or a hospital where everybody's working towards a common goal. Mm-hmm. And each one that does something gives of himself without thinking, what am I getting out of it? But collectively, that produces great results in that organization, that hospital, that office, the world. And each one is doing something. But each one of those qualities in doing this yajna are the kratu, the yajna, the swadha, aushadha, all of the things that people put inside the yajna. And Brahman says, Krishna says, I am that. I am all of those things. He gives an example of a yajna where Krishna shows that he is every part of the yajna. So here he's saying that not only am I every living being, Brahman is, but also all the inert things and also the actions. I am the mantra, the words that you speak. I am all of that. And he is showing here that he's in every part of the world, just like your mind. For example, if you look at a dream, your own dream, when you're in the dream, you think about, oh, I was a king, I was ruler, I was very powerful, there were people under me. But it's your mind that's dreaming it. You don't really wake up and say, my mind, what is my mind like? And those of you who've seen my earlier lectures on memoirs of a psychiatrist before I started talking about the Gita saw that when I was early on in medical school, I became fascinated with the mind. Mm-hmm. And the first book I read was that with Dreams, written by Sigmund Freud. And at that point, I recognized I was looking at my own mind with each dream, every slip of the tongue, everything that happened. I was looking at what the mind was capable of. So just like you dream, you don't look up and say, what was that mind doing, thinking about it, unless you're at a different level in your development.
Right.
So when you do start to do that, you recognize that every part of your dream is that of your mind. Very significant. So similarly, if you look at everything in this world and in the universe, in fact, that is Brahman. We don't realize it. We right now see an individual who is brown or white or black or yellow. We see a green tree. We see an orange leaf. We see it all as being separate. But at some point as we develop, we start to see it all as being one. You don't negotiate with somebody else because he has less money than you. You just say, okay, he needs it. I have it. Here, take it. It starts to become fluid with everything. So yajna represents the world. You have to sacrifice your selfishness, your own personal selfishness, at the altar of a higher cause, is what this verse is saying, in addition to saying that Brahman is everything in every Atman. Verse 17, interesting, in it says, I am the father of this world. I am the mother. I am the sustainer. I am the grandfather. I am that which is to be known. I am the purifier. I am the syllable Om, and also I am Rigveda, Samaveda, and Yajurveda. Now, each one of these things has significant meaning, but not at this level for us. Let's just talk about certain things that might be interesting in this. I am the father of this world. How many other religions say the same thing about God being father? How many other religions talk about God being mother? I, Lou, you know any? I don't know any other religion.
No, I don't.
Yeah. I know other religions talk about God being father, but not mother. Here, what he's saying is, not only does he say, I am the father of this world, he also says, I'm the mother of this world. And then he goes on to say, I'm the grandfather of this world. So what does all this mean? It has deep meaning, but on a very superficial level, he's talking, Brahman's saying that I have masculine qualities and feminine qualities. And this world is a play of my own masculinity and my femininity. I am, as father, I'm the Purusha. I am the spirit, the life, the energy within you. And as mother, I am the body that you're housed in. I am the father, I am the mother. I am the supporter, the dhata, the material supporting the world. All of these elements, I am the dhata. And he's saying that I, as Brahman, go beyond this world. I'm going more than mother and father. I'm the grandfather. So he's saying, if you're just thinking about the world, don't forget, there's a bigger universe. I'm the grandfather from which the world came. That's how developed these ancient people were. They knew all of this. So then he talks about, I am the Om. Om has significant, and you can talk for 100 episodes just on the word Om. Om represents the self, Atman, Brahman. It represents the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. And Om is pure consciousness. Now, what is pure consciousness? And here he says, I am the one that has to be known. I am existence. So in Sanskrit, Brahman is known as Sat, Chit, and Anand. Sat means existence. Chit means consciousness, and bliss. Anand means bliss. So when you say, what is existence? These glasses exist, right?
Yep.
This shirt I'm wearing exists. I exist. But what is existence? It's a deeper philosophical concept that takes quite a bit of depth of philosophical understanding. But in the Gita, the Vedanta, the Upanishads, it says that Brahman is existence itself. Mm. These glasses, they exist, but existence is Brahman.
Yeah.
I am conscious. I am conscious that I can see this computer in front of me. I can see the trees behind me. I am conscious of that. But consciousness is Brahman. Because of Brahman, we have the consciousness. I am happy right now. I am unhappy at a later point. But happiness, consistent, constant happiness is Brahman itself. You were going to say something, Lou.
I was just going to say this is all an interesting concept. It's back to the wave in the ocean, right? There are waves, but they're all part of the ocean, right? And the ocean is a bigger thing than the individual waves. And you need to distinguish between the two.
Yes. So verse 18 says, again, all of these, I'm doing it very simply and quickly, because at some point, if you were to read it, you might say, this is doesn't make any sense. And right. It won't. But at a very deep level, it has much deeper meaning than what I'm even going here. The goal, I am the goal, I'm the supporter, I'm the Lord, I'm the witness, I'm the abode, the shelter, I'm the friend, I'm the origin, I'm the dissolution, I'm the substratum, I'm the treasure house, I'm the imperishable seed. So these are all different facets of Brahman, of God, like a diamond has multiple facets. And he's saying, God is saying, I have, Brahman saying, I have all these. I'm the nourisher, I'm the caretaker. Let me just pick one of these. The imperishable seed, he says. So if you look at it and you think to yourself, what does that mean? You may say, I don't know. I'm the imperishable seed. It's the seed. What it's also showing that our ancients knew that when you put a seed in the ground, let's say you take a mango seed. I don't know if you've ever eaten a mango. Inside of a mango is a seed that's pretty big. It's about 3 inches, 4 inches big and oval-shaped. And those are the mango seeds. You plant it in the ground. When a mango tree comes out of it and you dig and you say, where's that seed that I planted here? The seed's gone. The seed's gone to make the tree.
Right. Yep.
Anything that you plant that's a seed, and this you will see everywhere, that the seed perishes when it gives rise to whatever the seed gives rise to.
Right.
What Brahman is saying is that unlimited amounts of beings come from me, but I am not at all used up.
Right.
No part of me gets used up. I'm imperishable and I don't die because of these human beings that keep coming out from me, or animals or plants or the world, because after 4.3 billion years, as we've described before, they all go back into that seed form and then they lie dormant for 4.32 billion years. Right. That's
so
what he said.
Despite producing fruit, the seed still remains.
That's right. Despite producing the tree, the seed still remains. Verse 19 says, I give heat, I withhold rain, I send forth rain. I am immortality, as well as I am death. I bring out beings and non-beings. So here, Brahman says, Krishna says, Brahman is the sun and therefore gives heat. And the heat converts water to water vapor, which becomes rain. And because of me, I am the sun, I give heat. I withhold rain and I give rain. Now, this was written 5,000, 6,000 years ago. The Upanishads were written before that. I don't know when they found out about water vapor and clouds and rain, but this is a clear indication that they knew many things scientifically back then.
Right.
And when he's saying, I'm immortality as well as I'm death, I'm being and non-being, that has many different interesting thoughts and lead to interesting philosophical discussions. Because, you know, you look at sugar, just as an example.
Yes.
You can analyze sugar and you can say it's in its gross form, it's molasses. And then you crystallize it and it becomes sugar and it's this and it's that, it's this chemical. But really, where does the sweetness come from in sugar?
Hmm.
Why is sugar sweet? How is it sweet? Good concept to think about.
Yeah.
Here,
in all the forms we put it in, that sweetness remains.
That sweetness remains. Mm-hmm. And according to Sanskrit, what it says is dharma is the essence of something. So the dharma of sugar is its sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have sugar without sweetness. Dharma of sugar is sweetness. Sweetness is the very essence of sugar. Similarly, you and I, as human beings, our dharma is wanting to be one with Brahman. Our dharma is our life, our Atman, which is Brahman within us. You may say, scientists may say, okay, I can analyze every part of his body, DNA, etc. But can you analyze life, which is within me?
Right.
Can you analyze that Brahman, that Atman that is giving me life? And what, just like with sugar, why is sugar sweet? Why is life there within me? Why?
I'm
why am I alive?
I'm reminded of the scientist, and I forget the scientist's name, but remember there was, in the late 1800s, there was an experiment to try to figure out how much the soul weighed?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Trying to quantify and trying to scientifically explain Brahman. That's basically what that was, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So if you look, science cannot measure Brahman, Atman, life. Science cannot weigh it, cannot find it, cannot define it, and science cannot explain why. Why am I alive? Why is there life on this planet? Why is it that for that 4.32 billion years, life exists everywhere? And why is it that after 4.32 billion years, for another 4.32 billion years, it goes into its seed form? Why? And what this verse says is, I have that reason. I am the being. It's very deep philosophical being, but it'll get us confused. So I'm right. just going to leave it at that, and we can take over from some other time. Lou, any comments, any questions, anything that you want to add or say?
These sound, this episode and the previous episode, sounds like principles that we should have, but we're not quite ready for. In other words, as we get more advanced and as we get further into the Gita, we can come back to them and get more out of them. But for now, it's just something we should have in the bag, right?
Yeah. If we get too deep at any point, you tend to lose focus.
Right.
And your focus, our focus should be at this point to self-develop, to get ourselves to be better human beings. It's too much to say, well, where did the universe come from? Who was there before Brahman? How did Brahman? It gets to be too complicated, and you get so wrapped up in the weeds that you won't be able to swim. You want to be able to,
right? Yeah.
It'll be distracting. You got to get past the weeds and out into the open water so you can swim. Develop yourself as a person first, my friend. And I'm saying that to anybody that's listening. And as one develops, you go from 0 to 1 to 2, and you feel so much better. You can always start to contemplate these different thoughts, because they're all there in the Upanishads, in the Gita. The answers are there. But you need to be at a higher level in yeah. order to even contemplate that.
I'm one of those people. I'll spend the rest of the day trying to contemplate the difference between existing and existence. I'm trying to wrap my head around that. I'm one of those people. So I have to be careful not to get too far into the weeds there.
Yeah, yeah. Good, Lou. It's been a pleasure. We're now approaching 100 episodes, friends, mm-hmm. and it's been a pleasure for me to be with Lou throughout all this time. Has it been over a year, Lou?
It's been over a year, yes.
Wow.
And it's been an incredible journey. It's been such a help too. And as I think I told you, I'm passing it along to my future son-in-law now, and I've got my kids involved in listening, and it's been a very fruitful thing. And I know this is why you started it. This was just basically to give it out, to put it out there and let people draw things from it. And it's worked for me personally. And I know we've got a lot of followers. We love to hear from them. And we're hearing from them constantly, so hopefully it's working for them too.
Yes, I'm grateful that I was able to do this for anybody. I'm really happy that your children, your future son-in-law, everybody's interested. It's great.
Yep.
It helps us all to be better human beings, and hopefully at some point, if it continues to spread from all the people that are spreading these words of wisdom that our ancestors gave, hopefully at some point the world will be a better place.
The Gita Memoirs of a Psychiatrist on Facebook is the best way to communicate with us. If you want, we'd love to hear from you. If you want the audio-only podcast, we've got Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, several other outlets. If you're shopping for podcasts, you can probably find us. YouTube is a way to get the videos as well, and leave comments there. And we'll see you on the next episode.